Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Round three is come and gone, and now we're looking forward to round four. Team List Tuesday has hit today, and there's plenty of shocks, surprises, a Lolo outing that nobody saw coming, and where would I be without the other man on the other line? JT, how are you, mate? Lolo, huge news.
Yeah, I don't know if the start of the pod there was a dog whining in the street there. It wasn't me. I was still recovering from that news. Jesus Christ, where did that come from?
And Lucky, you've also joined us, mate. How are you going?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to talk to you boys. How you doing?
Well, I'm going okay, but how are you feeling after that night's performance? That was incredible.
The nerves have still not settled, mate. I was up and about at the end of it. I thought the boys put in a great performance.
Yeah. Is Burton your best mate?
Burton? Oh, Jesus. That's a family name, funnily enough. So, yeah, might have had a bit of a soft spot for him.
Well, he owes you. You owe him a couple of beers, yep. I think.
That's it.
Four misconversions or something, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
Yeah, whatever. I'll buy him as many beers as 1 point is equal to. So.
Yeah, it was an incredible game, and it was fantastic to have rugby league back, as what you pointed out on your weekend roundup yesterday, Justin. And we're definitely well and truly back into the NRL season. So how are we going to run these things in these podcasts now as well? It's the Tuesday night, Team List Tuesday, and then Wednesday will be all about trades and whatever other banter or crap that the JT and whoever else comes on the podcast can think about cooking up at that point in time. So before we get into the teams, let's just quickly run through our teams and rankings and all that kind of stuff. JT, I know that you had a pretty good weekend, so do you want to kick it off?
Mate, yeah, start with the real star of the show here, and we'll scroll down to you guys later. But, 12-21 and no turbo, that was pretty good. I was sitting real pretty coming into that last Sunday game, and then turbo just ruined it for everyone that doesn't own him. So, yeah, the pack tightened up a little bit there. So, no, pretty happy with that. 3,400, so doing steady.
Very good. Lakey, how'd you go?
Woeful. Woeful. I had the exact opposite round to what JT had. I scored a 972 and just about everything I did was wrong. Dropped 21,000 places in the rankings in the 1 week. It was. I'm looking forward to round
20,
four.
20,000?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yep.
There were some massive scores, though, because I scored over 1,100 and I only improved my ranking by 3,000, so still outside of the top 30,000. So just a lot of people must have had huge scores, I think, as what you unfortunately found out, Lakey. But that is in the past. We can move on to round four. You've got your boy Ponga back, which we're going to head into the round four teams and talk plenty about that. So let's jump straight in with the first game. And, well, for me, my beloved Broncos, they're the battered Broncos, I think. They're really struggling. But for an avid Cowboys fan, Justin, this must be just fantastic for you.
Oh, what did you call them? Cactus about 10 minutes ago? This is typical Brisbane. Like, everyone's talking up premierships and how good are they and best forward pack and all these young guns coming through. You lose one game and it's all of a sudden, oh, we've got no hope. It's a rebuilding year, but it's absolutely hilarious. But, no, you've named Jake Turpin at your nine, but he's not even going to be there for the next month or so, I'm hearing. So Corey Pikes, Pakes, however you say it, will be coming in.
That's the news. Yeah.
Changes galore. You got a couple of rookies in your second row. So Ethan Bullimore comes in to join Jamil Hoppawattie. That was your biggest problem, I think, last week. So very tough against the reigning premiers. So can understand the reservations about having hope. But, yeah. Katoni Staggs, though, that's the big one, right? And I'm sure that we are all new owners.
Yeah, that hurts, mate. That really hurts. But I mean, you've got Glenn Fifita and Pangai Jr. on the sideline. So that's huge. And now you've got Turpin likely missing a month, is what we're hearing from a couple of different sources. And we've just shipped off McCullough to the Knights. So, yeah, we're running with a guy that's making his debut. That's a pretty – I'm just having a look at the side now. Geez, that is a weak side. Very, very young side. And we've got Jamil can't catch. Hapuade is still there. So, Lakey, any thoughts from you on the Broncos outfit?
Matt, how good is it? Yeah, you've gone from having one of the strongest forward packs in the comp to just a throwing out a bunch of rookies and hoping they're going to do the job against the reigning premiers. It's going to be an interesting night.
Let's move on to the reigning premiers, the Roosters. They've made very few changes here, and also their injuries and outs are limited to Billy Smith, who's got a knee injury and out for the season. So Mitchell Orbison and Tikio has been named on the reserves, but you'd expect that maybe one or two of those guys will come in. So what that does mean with Orbison out is that Angus Crichton retains his spot. And, you know, he's been performing really well this year, scores 67 and 69 in rounds 2 and 3. So without Orbo floating around there in the reserves and probably in the starting side, he'd be definitely probably a keeper for the second row, but it's a bit of a risk at the moment. What do you think, Lakey?
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one because Orbo was starting over him at the start of the year and Crichton only got promoted because of Orbo missing. So he's been playing well, but you just don't know what the makeup's going to look like on game day. You'd expect TKO and Orbo to come in, a couple of those interchange guys to drop off, but who they replace, I don't know.
Well, apart from Teddy, that's pretty much it from me with the Roosters. JT, so we move along to the Panthers, Warriors.
Yeah, the only thing with the Roosters is that Victor Radley's challenging his high tackle charge at the judiciary this week. So if he does get rubbed out, which I don't think he will, you'd think Orbo or TK will come in. But yeah, let's go to the Pennies.
Let's go to the Panthers versus the Warriors, Friday, 6 p.m. Shaped as a pretty good game, I think, after what we saw from the Warriors last round. Looking forward to this one. No real changes for Penrith. You got Liam Martin, though, that does come back onto the bench for Billy Byrne. So that could potentially have an impact on Isaiah Yao, who we'll get to shortly. And then also now Nathan Cleary is still a week away. He's working his way through a TikTok suspension at the moment. And then for the Warriors, they've actually made quite a number of changes there. Carl Lawton comes into the centres. I can't remember him playing in the centres, actually. He's always been playing hooker or utility off the bench, so that'll be interesting. And then you've got our boys, JTB and Gatoa, in the starting side. So pretty happy with that from a Supercoach perspective. Lakey, I'll go to you, mate. What are your thoughts on Isaiah Yao? We're going to speak about him a fair bit tomorrow in our trade discussion. But, I mean, that was a huge performance on the weekend. I think close to 90 points in base. He just looks like a completely different player. Even the eye test in that game was just phenomenal. So if you don't own him, I'm not sure if you do actually, would you bring him in? Or with Liam Martin named on the bench, what are you doing?
I think Liam Martin probably affects Capewell more than Yeo, just the way he's been playing. As a Knights fan, every time I looked up at the screen on the weekend, Yeo seems to have the ball in his hand and doing damage. So he's taken it to another level this year. I did call him a bust pre-game to you guys in the chat. I'm going to stick with it, more so of hope than anything else. but no, I don't have him and I can't bring him in. I've got other areas I've got to fix.
You've got him, JT, and I know that was one of the many reasons that you scored over 1,200. But as a new owner, you must be pretty happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the risk was coming into that round that he didn't see out the 80, so named it lock. No, that was question marks there. But played the full 90 in the end and still looked like he had a second wind in the second half. So, yeah, nothing but ticks for the new boy, Isaiah. I think the big one is Capewell, though, and I reckon you were saying you were tossing up on Twitter earlier this week between Capewell and Yao. So obviously you got the much cheaper price at the moment. So what are you doing?
I'm just biting the bullet, mate, sucking up the ego and going with Yao. I think that he is shaping as a keeper. in the center wing, but also the scores that he's producing, that's almost second row keeper territory as well. So I'm probably rolling with him. And just you made a really good point before about what impact Martin will have on the bench, and I do think that that'll probably impact Capewell more. Capewell did play reduced minutes, or didn't play the full 80 minutes on the weekend, although his minutes does say over 80. It was a 90 minute game, so he was the one to come off instead of Yeo. And you've also got Kakao as well. I think that went off for HIA, or went off for a little bit too, so it will be really interesting. But I'm picking Yeo over Capewell.
You can wait a week on Capewell too. It was his first game of the season, so you can get another look at him.
You definitely can, yeah. Yeah. I mean, another point that I kind of raised the other day is that you could really pick one of these guys and you set second row, one of them in the center wing for a space of a few weeks, right? And then until some of these, second row keepers emerge, you can just do a switch and get one of those guys back into the center wing, and then a cheapie that's fattened out, trade him to a second row keeper. So, we're definitely, there's no reason why you couldn't pick both of those guys, I guess. But anyway, let's move along. Warriors, anything really there to talk about? Not too much, just the rookies, loving seeing them in the starting side, right?
I am this week.
Yeah. This is what happens when you don't throw to one of us directly. No, I learned this. You've got to be very direct.
Well, I just thought by staring at you guys right now, you would have picked it up. Anyway, that was my fault.
Lakey, no, as I said, I am this week. I decided to wait a week on both the rookies last week and I paid for it dearly. So fixing, that's the fix I'm doing. The rest of the team is not much to write home about. I did like the way RTS went about business on the weekend. It was by far his best game of the year, so hopefully he can keep that up. But no. You're a Harris owner, Bobby, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. I'll throw back to you, JT. Give us your spiel.
I was almost trading him out at the start of the week as well, finding out one of the five trades. But then in the end, he comes out and he's named at second row, plays at lock the whole game, right through the middle. Just, yeah, ball magnet and tackle bot. So, yeah, I mean, that was one week. Who knows what will turn out this week with that Warriors side. But, yeah, quietly happy with how Tohu went. It's definitely not someone people would be, you know, breaking down the barn door to bring in. But, yeah, handy enough, especially this week, that I can play a guy like Harris when Lolo's out. So, yeah, good signs.
Well, I mean, 75 points in base there, mate. And if he keeps producing that, he's priced under 550 at the moment, break even of 60 this week. So he's certainly a player that people should be putting on the watch list, I'd say. Pretty inexperienced Warriors pack there too. So, yeah, definitely a player that, if he does stay fit, which has probably been his big question mark, he's a guy that I'm certainly going to keep close tabs on. All right, let's move along to the next game, shall we? The Storm versus the Rabbitohs. So, full of Storm, you've got Riley Jacks, the guy that we just couldn't remember his name a couple of weeks ago. He comes straight into the Storm side onto the bench, and then big Nelson Asafa Solomona is suspended again. Bellamy must be just tearing his hair out. I think it's a good sign here, or a good news story with Christian Welch as well, returning from ACL injury and comes into the starting side, which is good. Outside of that, there's probably not too much to speak about for the Storm. Moving along to the Rabbitohs, you've got Patrick Margo coming in onto the bench, and then Tom Amone named on the extended bench, and he's being dropped at the moment. JT, I'll throw it to you. What tickles your interest out of this game from an ins and outs and an analysis perspective?
Just a weird putting Riley Jackson on that bench when you got Brandon Smith there already. So I don't know what that means. Does it mean he's just there in case there's an injury, or is CS9 going to be rested? Like, yeah, it's just a bizarre one. But, yeah, I guess in a Latrell at 80, again, that's locked in with that bench, you'd imagine. So it looks like that's the way that they're going. But I was hearing a little bit of rumbling during the week in the last couple of days, about Cam Murray potentially moving back to lock. That wasn't the case when the team came out today. It's still Liam Knight named at 13, Murray at 12. But even last week, Murray played pretty handily on that edge there. So if he moved back to the lock position, though, I'd imagine he'd have a hell of a lot more interest in this game, given that's his favoured position. But, yeah, we'll see where that plays out over the coming weeks.
I think...
pretty.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think Murray did play in lock a bit with Liam Knight's HIA issues on the weekend too. So he might have got a bit of an extended run in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. I think he played 71 minutes, which is about 10 minutes more than what he normally would. Close to that 60 to 70 mark. So, yeah, right there. That's the only thing I was going to add. Okay, let's move along to the Eels versus the Seagulls. The Saturday game at 5:30. A little bit of a different structure this weekend, it seems, with two games on the Saturday rather than the three. Eels, absolutely no changes. And also for the Seagulls, no changes at all. So there's not really too much to speak about here and nothing at all from an ins and outs. Is there anything, JT, that we need to raise the kind of, apart from Ryan Madison from the Eels, which we'll talk about tomorrow, and also Turbo for the Seagulls? There's not really too much, is there?
No, not at all. You wouldn't expect to change after flogging some useless sides the week before. So, no, all good.
Lakey? Anything there, mate?
No, the boys got a couple of training sessions in and they'll be right for the big game this week.
I'm just let's move straight along then, shall we, to the Cowboys versus the Sharks. I've been looking forward to this one, actually. JT, do you want us to run through the team list?
Yeah, this was a shock because I was on a phone call for work at exactly 4 o'clock. How handy is that?
You don't work, mate. You don't work.
And the phone is blowing up and I'm seeing Lolo, Lolo, Lolo. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then the big X from Fox Sports to say Lolo's out. So I'm freaking out thinking season done. Just knee bruising, so not
blame
a structural.
The haircut.
Yeah, he's carrying about 15 kilos extra weight in that haircut.
Oh, that beard, sexy old beard. But, yeah, one night with the Queen or Lolo. Thank you very much. But, yeah, it's not structural, so it's not something he's going to carry throughout the year, which is always the worry with those sort of injuries. So it looks like he's likely to just miss this week, which is a thank God kind of moment. But, yeah, all of a sudden teams look a hell of a lot different. A lot of people were going to captain him, myself included. So, yeah, here we go, classic super coach. But one good thing.
Not only it's Supercoach teams, but the Cowboys look very different as well. Your main guy, the guy that carries the entire team on his shoulders, is out this week. So very interesting to see how they go against the Sharks at home.
Michael Morgan was out last week too, and we did just fine. So now we'll manage without him again. But yeah, so Josh McGuire shifts back to the lock there, and you've got Mitch Dunn staying in the second row along with Cohen Hess. So. They've promoted Frank Molo to the starting side. That's well deserved. I think it's his first ever run on game, so good on him. But the real one for me is Tom Gilbert finally cracking first grade. He's had a hell of a lot of reps through the juniors, through reserve grade over the last couple of years. So a lot of Cowboys fans have been waiting for this one. So he's finally getting a crack. So he's an absolute gun. He'll be a super coach gun in future. But, yeah, should get 20 or so minutes off that bench. Gavin Cooper as well. Old man Coop's coming in for the old head. But, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine, mate.
So Reece Robson last week was pretty impressive, wasn't he, JT? I was pretty surprised when I had a look at the minutes today. But he played 56 versus Granville's 26 minutes, which is interesting considering that he's starting from the bench. So what do you think is going to happen there? Is he someone that you could potentially – see he's being super coach relevant soon? Is Granville just going to continue to hold on to that spot? What's the thoughts?
Oh, they seem to like having Granville on there to work through the initial sort of stages and then having Robson come in as a bit more speedy and agile around the ruck there. So I think Granville topped out at about 25 minutes last week. I think that's probably the rotation going forward. Robson, for me, would only be relevant if he was playing 80. He's already at that awkward sort of mid-range price, so not a lot to gain and not a lot of or quite a lot of risk if you are to bring him in. But yeah, he's not going to play the Titans every week and score those tries, unfortunately. But he's definitely the number one, number nine going forward. He's just playing off the bench, so we'll see.
Okay, let's move along to the Sharks then. Matt Moylan, who was a late inclusion last weekend, is named to replace Chad Townsend, who's out with a hamstring injury in the halves, and Connor Tracy. And Talakai have been named on the bench with Billy Margulis as the 18th man. So he can't quite sneak into that starting side, but he's not too far away. So, yeah, I guess that there was pretty big news around last week, I guess, with the Fifita out and then Moylan coming back in. This side doesn't have too much else going on apart from that with we've only got Townsend dropping out. the Moylan shift, I guess, will mean that Kennedy gets another couple of weeks or another week at least to make a bit of cash. Blakey, do you own Kennedy?
I do, and he was one I was maybe looking at trading out this week because with Moylan's return, but the Townsend injury has just been a godsend for Supercoach owners. Give Kennedy a bit more of a boost. I don't know. He's not been very impressive, though, has he?
No, but he's got a break even of 3, so I think this is a good result for you, right? You're going to get probably one more, maybe two more price rises out of him. A hamstring injury generally isn't 1 week, so this could be a couple of weeks in there, and he's a guy that you can just stick on your pine and your center wing, probably just earning a bit of cash.
Yeah, well, there's that, or I can trade him down to best next week, which is what I was looking at. I haven't seen any reports from physio about how long this injury is for Townsend, though, so he'll be one to watch.
And the only thing of note I've probably got there is that Toby Rudolph has been named to start again, although a little bit disappointing, I think. So he's traveling at just over 1 point per minute, right? As a starting prop, we're going to want to see him crank that up a bit. Otherwise, these 40s that he keeps producing is going to really slow that that cash generation. So hopefully he can get a little bit of a kick along, and Fifita remains on the sidelines with a knee or a calf injury, and it's still touted to be 1 week away. So we'll see what happens there. JT, anything from you for the Sharks before we just jump into a quick break?
No, that's all, mate. They're going to die. They're going to lose. So, yeah, should be right.
Okay, let's just have a very quick break and then we'll come back with your boys, the Knights, Lakey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we are back for the Raiders versus the Knights. This looks like a cracking game. If the Knights can put up any sort of performance like they did last weekend, then this should be a great game for Sunday, the early Sunday game. And your boy Ponga is back. Lakey, we'll jump into him. Let's just deal with the Knights for the Raiders first. JT, do you want to take us through the changes with the Raiders? There's only really one of note, probably. Mm.
Yeah, not, so we saw Rapana make the starting side last week with Simonsen being out with a leg infection. So roles reversed this week. Simonsen's back and he's in the starting spot. Rapana still to get some match fitness coming off the bench there. So that's really the only change there. Michael Oldfield drops off to the extendeds after being on the bench last week as well. So, yeah, I think in just the backstory of the whole John Bateman thing is the biggest news coming out of Canberra camp at the moment. So news is that he'll be out quite a lot longer than we'd thought is what I'm hearing. So especially with all this contract drama, it's good news for Horsburgh and Tarpane owners. But
and Latrell Mitchell
going on there.
Latrell Mitchell's loving the focus elsewhere.
Oh, just poor.
Mate, I thought the news was that Wigan, I think that's his new club in the Super League, have offered him $3.5 million for a few years to get him back there from next year. But are you saying that he's looking like he's going to be a couple more weeks out with injury?
Yeah, I think the initial rehab period's gone a lot longer than they thought is the word out. So, yeah, should give Tarpane and Horsburgh a few more weeks. But knowing my mail on this podcast, I think I called Andrew Fifita as not having any knee issues, and then he did. So, yeah, it probably means Johnny Bateman to start next week.
Well, I think you probably get your mail from where I get it from, mate, and it's pretty shit. So I think we just...
Dolby donkeys today didn't come through, but anyway.
No, they didn't, did they? Okay, so just looking at that back row just really quickly. So Tarpany played the full 80 minutes last week with Horsburgh, I think, down to 50. So, JT, you're a Horsburgh owner. What are you doing with him?
I was willing to, almost ready to trade him out this week, but I've gone with Best and Turbo for some other players instead. But I think he's a guy that I'm going to have to play this week given Lolo's injury and a few others. So I don't mind the 50s that he's churning out. I'd prefer a bit more minutes-wise, but I think it just means he's going to be a lot slower cash burn than I'd first hoped. So over the next couple of weeks, he'll be gone. It's a bit unfortunate, but I love watching him play, but he's just not getting the minutes, I'd hope.
Okay, let's jump along to your boys, the Knights. Lakey, take us through what's happening there.
Yeah, Ponga's back, which is huge for us. He'll really lift the side, I think. The biggest hope that we have this week is that everyone runs out and stays healthy. That was it was so hard to watch. Best was awesome throughout the game, but he needs to work on his right to left. Pierce, hopefully... I've sort of got a question mark against Mitch Pearce because he took a really heavy knock. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him make way on game day, but we'll see what happens there. Tex Hoy was really good on the weekend, so he could come back into the halves there. And I thought Chris Randall was very stiff to miss out the team this week. He made 71 tackles on debut last
week. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's sort of stock standard from the Knights. Lockie Fitz is out with a tweaked hammy as well, so he's missed last week as a late withdrawal, and he's still out this week, which, again, hurts for me as an owner. But then
– you got to cut – you mate, you've got to cut that. I know. You've got to get rid of it.
I know.
You've just got to cut the cord, mate. Just get rid of it.
He looked all right in round two, so I thought I'll hold him for a week and but no, just, yeah, he's killing me.
Is this
me.
What I sound like? Is this with what Morgan. I sound like yeah. with Michael Morgan?
Morgan. Yeah, are you, exactly
are you still carrying him?
In draft. I'm carrying him in draft. I'll get him back eventually.
Jesus.
Yeah. I guess the big one for you, Langy, is Macca's getting his Knights debut.
Doesn't bother me, mate. Doesn't bother me. I've never been his greatest fan, although he was okay. But, yeah, enjoy it, mate. He'll go out there and put on plenty of tackles, and that'll be about it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one.
Well, I am really surprised to see Mitchell Pearce out there. Lasted for 5 minutes. That was a huge hit. So we'll just see what happens there. Interesting, they've retained Tex Hoy on the interchange bench as well, which I think's good. He looked pretty. He was okay, right? He didn't nothing really too much to fault. And then interesting one with Bradman Best. Obviously a massive 100-point score. He's the most traded in player this week, which I thought was interesting given that he's not in the bubble until next week. So don't ruin anything about the podcast that we've got coming out tomorrow, JT, but you just kind of said that he's one of your trading targets this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So it's either you've got to get him and Grant in at some point over the next couple of weeks. So rather than risk having more issues next week, more fires to put out, I've just got to get one of them in and center wing. Looks like the place I need a good score. So, yeah, welcome to the baskets, Mr. Best.
Okay, let's move along to the Titans versus the Tigers. The Titans, where do you start? So if you have a look at what they've done here, this is just, if you're a Titans fan, you're just pulling your hair out, right? So ins this week, Anthony Don, Bryce Cartwright, just back in, and Tyron Roberts back into the side. And then you're dropping Nathan Peets and Shannon Boyd. Boyd's on, what, about 800 grand a year or something, and Peets is probably on about half a mil. Jesus.
You boys up at the Broncos. Jared Wallace. You should let the Broncos.
You got Jared Wallace dropped as well. Bloody hell.
I was going to say, you should let the Broncos know they're able to drop 800K a year players.
Take your
pick. They did with Jared Wallace, and he's now in the reserves for the Titans. And you look at that bench, you've got Tanner Boyd, pretty sure he's a back. You've got young Tom Appiah, who's definitely a back and about to make his Titans debut from after 2 years as a Mormon mission. Bryce Cartwright, who just fucking should not be on a football field. And I just, it's really interesting, right, that one, because we can see what he does and, you know, tries to do a lot of the Larry stuff, and he gets called out a lot in his defensive structures and missed tackles and all of that kind of stuff. But you've now had two coaches that have gone through the Titans with him inside, and this one that's theirs now is very highly regarded and puts him into the interchange. after all the anti-vax stuff. So, JT, what's your take on that? Is it something we're just missing, or what's with the Cartwright love affair?
All right, I just feel so sorry for the Titans supporters out there. Like, they've paid overs for these players. Like, you can't have 500K plus players like Cardi, like Wallace, like Boyd sitting on your bench. So you got to play them at some stage. But Bryce Cartwright wouldn't be a regular first grader in any other side bar the Titans based on his form over the last couple of years. Like, I think his best spot is a bench utility to come out there and try and spark something. But having him out there for the 80, he's going to do something dumb. It's like the Simpsons standing back watching Homer at his desk there. Like, they're just waiting for him to blow the whole thing up. I don't mind the injection from the bench, but that's surely got to be the only place that they can
put him in that
side there. But but yeah, it's ordinary.
Well, I'm just that bench just blows my mind, right? Tana Boyd is a halfback, and then young Tonopia, as I said, is an outside back. So you've got the two guys in there going to be going through the forwards. I mean, Proctor is just going horribly at the moment. Keegan Hipgrave could get sent off after 5 minutes. And then the only player there of legitimate talent in that back row is Jai Arrow at the moment. The guy can only seem to really get through about 60 minutes before he blows a gasket. The one that we should be speaking about, and if you're a Titans fan, you've got to get pretty excited about Fotuoko, right? That performance last week was absolutely outstanding. I didn't realise this, but I had a look at it back through his stats today. 87 points in 47 minutes, 63 of those were from base. So he's just 1% owned at the moment and under 450K. Plenty of people went for 12 last week, but, I mean, people, I think, should be looking at him as a bit of a pod. What are your thoughts?
Like, yeah, I'm a big fan of the kid. He's very Lolo-esque, but I can't trust the Titans.
Well, that's the risk. Like, he's played like this before, and we've seen a game or two like this from him, and then piques the interest, and then after that he either gets his minutes cut or he just, I don't know, goes back into his shell. So he's shown glimpses before but never true consistency. So I think that's the key for him going forward before he becomes an option. But bench is so skinny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. Sorry to cut you off there. The other player there that I want to talk about briefly is just Jamal Fogarty. So he will be on the bubble next week, named again to start in the halves. Unfortunately, that's on probably the worst bubble of the year, as you pointed out, with Best and Grant needing to be picked up next week. So it's going to be hard to fit him in. Can either of you do it? I might go with you, JT, or is he someone you're going to let fall through?
No, the halves there's already a bit too full. So especially given he's the Titans, and you've got Tana Boyd there who is on the bubble as well in terms of getting on the starting side, so a bit of a risk.
Let's move along to the Tigers. If you do own any Tigers this week, play them, and absolutely if you've got a player there, such as a David Nofaluma or even a Luciano Leilua, who I'm seriously considering putting the captain tag on this weekend, definitely do it. Titans are just going to leak a lot of points. They've made no changes. Let's just quickly talk then about a couple of Supercoach relevant players quickly. Harry Grant, first game for the Tigers last week, 57 minutes versus 23 minutes for Billy Walters. Walters does remain on that bench, but 49 points in pure base from Harry Grant, that's pretty outstanding, right? It's a lot better than what we're seeing from the likes of a Brayley as a rookie hooker. So I think we just need to probably lower the expectations a little bit. He did have a try, I think, last week. He looks like a serious talent. JT, you must be bringing him in next week.
Yep, Brayley out, Grant in. Very easy call.
Okay. Alex Twal, Lakey, I might hand this over to you. Played the full 80 minutes of Lock last weekend. Did you bring him in round three, or is he someone that you're looking at, or you're just going to let him fall through?
I think I might let him fall through. I don't mind him, but I just wasn't sure how his minutes and rotations was going to hold up. He did play the 80, so you know if that's the signs going forward, he's going to be a very handy inclusion in the front row forward. You got some decent guys. I mean, Haas isn't everybody's team. Clemmer's there churning out 70-point games. Twiles at 60-ish. You just got to pick and choose.
Yeah, don't disagree. I mean, if you've got him, you're not complaining, right? It looks like a genuine front row forward keeper, particularly if he stays at lock. That's pretty interesting there. The work rate looks to have taken a bit of a toll with 61 points delivered. I think the majority of those, every single one of those points came from base. So that's it for the Tigers. The only thing worth of note as well is that there's rumours around today that Corey Thompson could be on his way to the Titans. So that'll be an interesting one to watch as well. So, well, it just seems like one of those players, right, that's just on the cusp of being a good reserve, first grade player, and goes to the Titans. Like, they just seem to pick up these guys. They'll be all mulling around, that 300 to 600K dollar value. And then, that's why they just don't go anywhere. So it's going to be tough. Can you imagine that side next year without Joy Arrow? Jeez, bloody hell. No go forward at all. Okay, speaking about no go forward, let's a game that I'm not going to be turning on Monday night. There's no chance about that. Bulldogs versus the Dragons. This looks absolutely horrific. I don't know how is this right? Monday at 4 PM. I think it's Queen's birthday.
Yeah, public holiday down Sydney.
Okay. Yes. Well, I definitely won't be watching this game. I don't think. JT, what's happening with the Doggies, mate?
This game's bloody game of the round. Like, what the hell's going to happen? No idea. Two coaches.
Nil all.
Oh, we could.
These two sides best chance for a win.
Well, all of the talk at the moment about Mary, you kind of, where there's fuel, there's fire, right? It's starting to really heat up. He could be gone in a week or two, but very interesting changes for the Dragons this week, which we'll jump into. But Bulldogs. Sorry, hand over to you, JT.
Yeah, not much doing outside of Kieran Foran coming back into 5'8". So Jack Cogger is the lone scapegoat for their terrible performance last week against Manly. So good to see Fozzer back. Not super coach relevant, but in terms of NRL, hopefully he can just spark something because they've got nothing at the moment. Aiden Tolman was an interesting one, though. I guess if we're going to talk anything super coach relevant for them, had a hip injury or something, an old man sort of thing, and wasn't named in the starting side. Eventually came in there on game day and churned out huge stack of minutes, massive tackles, his usual 4 meter hit ups, about 30 of those. So, yeah, I mean, down the track, Aiden Tolman remains probably the only relevant Bulldog going forward.
Yeah, so only three players scored over 50 for the Bulldogs. So absolutely nothing to get excited about there, and only one player over 60 points, which was Aiden Tom with a score in the mid-70s. So, yeah, not too much happening there. For the Dragons, there is plenty of happening, and if you're a Dragons fan, much like a Titans fan, geez, you've got to be a bit frustrated. The changes just kind of obviously, Mary knows a lot more about rugby league than me, but these changes, some of them just, they're quite interesting. So, Lakey, I'll hand over to you in a minute, but just the changes here. So, Corey Norman shifts to fullback with Matt Duffy dropped. Adam Clune makes his debut at halfback, so that'll be one to watch in 2 weeks, potentially as a trade-in target. Josh Kerr gets promoted to the starting front row. Corbin Sims has been dropped, and I've already seen on Twitter there's been a bit of a blowout about that. Trent Merrin and Isaac Luke join the interchange, and then Fui Maono comes out. He's got a break even of, I think, negative 20 or something like that. So that really hurts owners. Lakey, what the hell is Mary doing?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. What really confuses me is that Zach Lomax, he spent all preseason training at fullback, and they brought him over. Like, they gave him that big contract in order to play there, and they dropped him after 1 week, played Dufty there, and then Dufty's become the scapegoat. So they decided, who's our next best option is obviously Corey Norman. It's confusing at best, but that's Mary, isn't it? Isaac Luke on the bench, I did see that apparently missed a few sessions on return from the break. So he was omission last week because of that. So he'd come straight back in, which makes a lot of sense. Big news for any Kerr owners, starting at the number 8. That's great news for him. But, yeah, I don't know what to make of these sides at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that side on paper, if you look at it, you got Paul Vaughan, Tyson Frizzell, Tarek Sims, James Graham in that forward pack, and also Cameron McInnes. That's a good forward pack. And you've got Trent Merrin coming off the bench, right? And you've got Isaac Luke, who's an ex-international hooker there as well. It's just that that back line, Corey Norman and Ben Hunt are miles away.
Well, Ben Hunt's a grand finalist, I think we all remember.
Favorite ever Bronco.
But I guess with Lomax, for me, I think Mary might have done us a favour there, right, keeping him at centres. 47 points in pure Bates last week from there. If he keeps doing that, you're not going to be too unhappy. And, you know, you've got the goal kicking to go along. I don't think he kicked one goal at all last week. So you've potentially got a low-end keeper centre wing there if they can get their act together. That's pretty solid. 47 points in pure base from a centre wing. I'll take that any day of the week. JT, what about you?
Yeah, I'm safely playing him this week. I was happy with that. Yeah, fair bit of work to get through. Warriors not dropping the ball, so good to see from him. But the interesting one to me is Isaac Luke on the bench. So does that mean Cam McInnes shifts to the second row and spells Tyson Frizzell, who's been playing 80 minutes? Or not sure what the go is there, but Cam McInnes is one that caught my eye last week, the 89, I think. Nearly all in tackle stats. So
just to me, James Graham starting in the 13 is strange at best. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Luke coming on at 9 and McInnes switching back into that lock position.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was going to say. I think McInnes will play the full 80 minutes, 20 minutes at lock, 60 minutes at hooker, Luke 20 minutes at hooker. Though Ewan Aitken was brought on and played, I think, at lock last week. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But anyway, who knows, mate? Who knows? But yeah, I don't think Mary's got too long left. Anyway, that's the last game, and we've just gone past the 40-minute mark. Did you guys have anything more to add before we call it a night?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so that has been the Teamless Tuesday podcast. Tomorrow morning, nice and early, JT, myself, and Benny G will be jumping on and running through the top trades of the week and what we're doing. We just thought we'd split up these podcasts now. Otherwise, you're getting an hour and a half podcast, which I know that JT loves, absolutely loves them. But it's I think it's better for you guys to digest too. So we'll get that one out in the morning. Enjoy your Tuesday night, and that is all, guys. Thank you very much for jumping back on board, and I'll speak to you both next week.
Pleasure. Okay, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.